Hey, great worshiping, great praying. He's worthy, yeah? He's worthy. The more we know of Him, the more we know He's worthy. The more we let ourselves kind of dive in, the more we see His goodness. Our Lord, we thank You. And you know, in His goodness, He called you. If you're anything like me, you're pretty well aware of the reasons why He should have called someone else. He called you, He called each and every one of us. He called us. And so, God, we thank You. He's worthy of it all. Hey, we are C3 Western Australia. Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of our family of churches, has a vision, has a heartbeat for 1 million worshippers in C3. What a grand vision. What a glorious picture. And you and I here are a part of that picture. However big or small you feel, you are a part of a grand and glorious plan that God has been outworking and is outworking. And is there any grander plan that we can be involved with, but to see people discover the extraordinary goodness of our Savior and dive into the family that we are a part of? There is no greater cause, and we are C3 WA. When people walk into our churches, 16 C3 churches across WA, they will see the presence of God. There's worship, there's energy, there's celebration, there's prayer, there's friendship. There's fun, there's miracles, hospitality, family, connection. There's vision and creativity and purpose, authenticity. There's the Word of God. There's generosity, freedom, power, excellence. There's servanthood, and there is the big hug. Thank you, Pastor Chris. And how is this possible? How does this become not just nice words that we can read out, but become a reality? It becomes a reality because you and I live out the call of God that comes to us in our local church context. That's how that becomes a reality. So representing C3, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do serving our King. Thank you for the things that so many of you do that no one's going to see, but He sees. The things you do that are a part of this grand masterpiece, as we are all a unique part of this body to make possible what is alive in the heart of God and to see that be a reality here on earth. And so, thank you. Thank you. And while you're hearing this, thank you, can you just take your left hand like so? Left hand like so, and just pat yourself on the back and say, good job. Good job. Good job. Ephesians 3, the second of the Apostle Paul's grand prayers in the book of Ephesians, he says, and I pray that you, being grounded and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God in Christ Jesus. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you would be filled with the fullness of God. And now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And we are custodians of what we have in our hands right now in this generation. And may each of us, wherever we're at in this journey, continually pass that baton to the next, that we will glorify the name of our God. That we will firstly, this starts with us being grounded and established in love. Where there is a grounding, where our feet are firm and robust. And when we are grounded and established in love, then it goes on and says it's the fullness of God that would dwell within us, and there is a power that we walk out into, but it starts with us wherever we are at saying again, God, I open my heart. I'm going to be grounded, established, strong, robust. When we step out of His love, when our foundation is on something else, when we're standing on something or looking to something, this is where we are strong. This is where we're filled with the fullness of everything we could be filled with. And so C3WA, let us be filled afresh with His love. Let everything we do in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, be grounded and established in His love. That is the platform that we step from. That is the platform that we overlook the challenges, that we step beyond the whatevers, and we choose to be united for His cause as we march forward together. This is who we are, and we need to know that there are glorious days that have been, but the best days are ahead. That there is best behind us, and there is best ahead of us. That He has a glorious plan that He is carrying us on, and as we are grounded and established in love, we march forward together to see His power move in our generation in this time. And so come on, let's be awakened afresh, encouraged afresh, and here to help us in that is Pastor Dave Gilpin. All the way from England to Australia, back to England as a church planter 28 years ago, selling up, leaving everything here with his wife Jenny, and planting Hope City in England 28 years ago, and going on the glorious adventure, and now leading Hope City, one church in 12 locations in 4 different nations. And you know, it's when you there are a lot of people who have ideas. Ideas are easy. So don't listen to everyone who's got ideas. Half of them are crap. You just get excited about your ideas. But when there's ideas and fruitfulness, then that deserves our ear. But it gets better when there's ideas and fruitfulness and longevity, then that is even more worthy of our ear. There's more. When there's ideas and fruitfulness and longevity, and you leave feeling uplifted after you've heard all of those things, because sometimes all of those things can make you feel smaller and make you feel less able. But when you're actually lifted in that context, then that is someone we should pay good attention to, and that is Pastor Dave Gilpin. Can we stand and honor as he comes and shares with us tonight? Thank you, sir. You're the best.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, 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 hi. I sound like an Australian because I haven't lost my Aussie accent. How good is tonight? How good is Jared? Jared, that's so... Jared. Has Fremantle got themselves a treasure or what? Like everyone wants a Jared, don't they? I was thinking, I want Jared. That's what I want. I need a Jared. I wasn't worshipping at all. I was thinking, I need a Jared. Give me a Jared. But Jared. Jared's the special one. He's the special one, you know. Want myself a Jared. I wasn't looking at the bass guitarist. I don't care who the bass guitarist is. I've got no interest in the bass guitarist. Just give me a Jared. Give me a Jared. I don't care what the drummer in his little cage is doing. I don't want the drummer. I'm not interested in that drummer. It's just Jared. That's all I want is Jared. Give me a Jared. I don't give a hoot who the keyboard player. No, she looks very nice. Very nice. Want to stay on her right-hand side, you know, on the right side of this keyboard player. Looks like if you're not on the right side, it might go awfully wrong. No. Jared, I love you. You're amazing. And you look good too. Not every guitarist looks good. Look good as well. You don't look too bad. Jared looks much better. Father, give me a Jared. In Jesus' mighty name. Even an internship, Jared, for a year would just for 1 year. Just 1 year, Jared. Just 1 year, an internship. Promise, I promise you'll come back to come back to Frio. Promise. I promise. You know, if you want to come back, you can come back. I promise. You know. Oh, how are we tonight? Are you a little bit tired? I think it's good being tired. I used to be tired sinning. And now I'm tired for Jesus. I'm burning the candle at both ends. Only got one life. I'm not trying to live a work-life balance. A work-life what? A work-life balance. I wrote, just stay standing for a second. I kind of tried to figure out why I'm so tired. And there's about 60 million people, plus a couple of Polish people that have crept in. And I realized out of 60 million people, 25 million people are retired, leaves 35 million to do all the work. 10 million at school means 25 million doing all the work. 7 million are unemployed, leaves 18 million to do all the work. 10 million worked for the government, leaves 8 million to do all the work. 5 million are at university, that leaves 3 million to do all the work. 2,999,990 are in jail. That leaves 10 of us. And I'm one of the 10 people, me and Boris Johnson, holding the nation up end to end. That's why I'm tired. So many bludges. That's why I need a Jared. Heaving number 11. Crank it up to number 11. Yeah, that's absolutely true. You're a prophet. I don't know what your name is, but you're a prophet. I think it's just incredible that. So we're going to have a good time tonight, aren't we? We are going to have a good time tonight. Turn to someone and say, you're going to have a good time tonight. Give someone a high five. You can take seats. And everyone except for Jared can leave the stage, you know. Jared, you come and keep on playing. All right, Jared, you can take your seat as well. Come back up whenever you want, Jared. Whenever you feel inspired to come back up, you come back and start strumming. Oh, it's so quiet, isn't it? Once the guitar stops playing, the presence of God immediately leaves, doesn't it? Once Jared starts playing, the presence of God comes back. He's like a David of his generation, just so anointed. So I did this conference a number of years ago in Portsmouth, and I did the first session, and then at the end of the first session, I went to the toilet, right? And because I get stage fright, I went to the cubicles, right? And some men know exactly what I'm talking about there, right? And so I've tucked myself in the cubicle, and then two men at the urinal start talking about me because they didn't know I was in the cubicle, right? And so then I thought, I'm going to have to record this. And so I pressed record, and they started saying, yeah, I really enjoyed Dave. How did you find him? And the other guy said, yeah, pretty good, right? He said, yeah, good content. The other guy said, yeah, pretty good content, right? And then one of the guys said, but don't you think he's a bit old to be wearing skinny jeans? And to my shock and horror, the other guy said, yeah, he's a mile too old. And then the hairdryer went off and the guys left. So, and I was doing the second session. So I came out with the second session. I played the recording. And I just said, who are these two men? You know, and no one. Just so embarrassed. So you guys be careful, because straight after this, I'm back in the cubicle, right? So so you better say nice things about me, because I'll be recording it, right? Gosh, this message is kind of called Fail to Win, but if I had a better title, it'd be called Failure's Not an F Word. Because I just think part of my success is that I'm free to fail. I don't care about failing. And I think you care too much about failing. And I think because you care too much about failing, you're actually failing. Because you're just too conscious. You want everything you do to succeed. It's Christian perfectionism. It's crept into the church. Like, you've got to get a perfect word from God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6, it says, sow your seed in the morning, sow your seed at night. Because you just don't know which will succeed. Whether this or that, or both do equally well. Well, that's a bit too approximate for 21st century Christians, because we want a real word from God. We don't want sow your seed in the morning and at night, because you just don't know what's going to happen. And I think you've been caught out by perfectionism. It's rife throughout our society. That's why people are anorexic. That's why people were slightly depressed. Now they're really depressed, because they hate being slightly depressed. It's because they're battling against perfectionism. You know, their body image, trying to have the perfect set of emotions. And it's really done the church in, because it's caused us to freeze at failure. And I think you need to be free to fail. I think failure is a great thing. The road to success is paved with the potholes of failure. And you'll never actually succeed unless you fail. Fail 7 times, get up 8. The man who succeeded just got up 1 more time than the man or woman who failed. And I think it's frozen you a bit. I think when it comes to discipleship, you're going to lose quite a few people when it comes to discipleship, but you're going to win a few very special Jareds. you're going to win a few very special people along the way. But I think if you're not willing to fail, you won't succeed. Most Christians are far too successful. You know, I heard recently that Ed Sheeran, the Ginger Ninja from England, that he's only got 4 friends. He is one of the richest guys in England. He writes every hit song, even the songs you don't think he's written, he's written. He's everywhere, ninjuring everywhere across the pop world. He's just got 4 friends. He said he's narrowed it down to 4 friends, 4 friends that he can trust. And I thought, even though he's succeeding in songwriting, he's failing miserably personally, because he's no longer venturing out. And most Christians are legends in their own land room. But nowhere else. They're not legends in the land, because they're not willing to go out into the land because they're scared of failing. So they're very successful. That's why the expression BFF is a very popular expression, best friend forever. It just shows what a narrow world you've got. You've got one best friend forever. I mean, what is that? Most friends take you from A to B, but it's a different friend that takes you from B to C. I just think you're hovering from A to B and you're going back to A because you've still got the same friend. Usually different stages of the journey require different friendships and different friendship groups, right? Sometimes you've got to let go in order to take on the new thing that God's doing, a new friendship bunch that God has for you. But you know, you want to limit your failure. And so most churches, an apostolic church ought to be failing all the time. Ought to be coming up with great ideas, attempting great ideas, failing great ideas. Then when they come up with the winner, everybody follows. And I think your future is in failing. But then, yeah, let me ask you, is it really failing though? Like, if you see a toddler falling over, is the toddler failing to walk? No, he's learning to walk. So I would think that a lot of your failure is not really failure anyway. It's a sign of a great attempt. Back, I'm not so much into football, but back about 4 years ago, Iceland did really well in the Euro, whatever it was, just the European Cup, Iceland did super well. I think it got into the quarterfinals. Now, it beat England. But do you know the population of Iceland's like 300,000? Like, what are they doing creating a world-class football team? And yet they were beaten, I think, by Germany in the quarterfinals, right? Well, were they a success or were they a failure? Did they succeed or did they fail? When it came to the competition, they failed in the competition. But then again, they come from a nation of 300,000 people. They were the most successful team in the competition. And I think sometimes you grade yourself according to a marketplace that isn't the correct marketplace. I think you compare yourself against somebody else. If you you come from Iceland. You come from a place that's cold. You come from a place that's limited. You come from a place that no good thing comes from your Nazareth, from your Iceland. And so even you being here tonight, it's a success story in the making. And yet if you judge yourself, think, well, we lost out to Germany. Yeah, but what were you doing playing Germany in the first place? You know, you're a major success story. There's three things you need to do tonight. Is you need to get up, brush yourself down, try again. That's it. Thank you. I'll be back again next year. Get up. Brush yourself down and try again. You know, we sent maybe six people to Kuala Lumpur to start Hope City Church. Like, it's about 8,000 miles away from England. We'd never been there before. No one had ever been there before. We saw it on a map and thought it'd be a good place to start a church. And so we sent six people there. And it's gone quite well. But I wouldn't mind if they failed. You get your best stories from failure anyway. You know, if you're sitting around a campfire, your best stories of failure where you're really mucked up. And, you know, if they came back, they come back as heroes. Because they left houses and land and family and friends, and they went to a nation that none of them had ever been before. And if they came back failing, they would have had a ticker tape parade. They'd be stars. Because their failure was a sign of a mighty attempt to do a mighty thing for a mighty God. I think success belongs to God. I don't think it belongs to us. Steps belong to us. But success belongs to God. I think sometimes you're in charge of your own success story. Quit it. Mind your own business. It's got nothing to do with you. If I was to die at the same time as Reinhard Bonnke and both of us get knocked over by a truck, you know, you've got 10,000 truckloads of souls that he's seen saved. The first thing God will do is remove it. He won't honor him for it. Because the success came about by the power of God, not the power of Reinhardt. It doesn't say, well done, good and successful servant, anywhere in the Bible. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. So we'll be standing there judged according to our faithfulness to God, not our success in God. You need to take your nose out of God's business. And because of that, you know, often we think sitting next to Jesus Christ after we die, we think it'll be Mother Teresa, you know, on the right-hand side and Billy Graham on the left-hand side. It's probably an Uber driver from Fremantle. Yeah, it's probably him. It's probably him. Because, you know, it's very, because he's lovely. It's very hard to be faithful with the ordinary. And some of us wish that we could do romantic dreams like set up an orphanage. Or a romantic dream like setting up a dream center in the heart of a huge city of poverty. But the greatest thing you can do is take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. That's why Jesus was from Nazareth, a very ordinary town. That's why his first miracle was turning water into wine. Very ordinary thing, that. That's why he came in on a donkey, not on a gold-clad chariot. Because God loves to turn ordinary things into extraordinary things. And so your judgment will be based on what you did with the ordinary. So it'll be probably a very ordinary housewife from Adelaide who is faithful with the very ordinary things that God gave her. She just turned water into wine on a regular basis. But even that miracle was brought about by the power of God, and he rewarded her for her faithfulness. And because God is so much into the ordinary, it's probably not Mother Teresa. Because it's very easy to rise up in an extraordinary way when you're in extraordinary circumstances. It's very hard to rise up in an extraordinary way in the midst of ordinary circumstances. So it could be you. It could be me.
Ha ha.
We're going to wait and see. Failure is not an optional extra. Failure is a certainty for those people who want to see great things in God. You know, our first failure in church planting was in a place called Hull on the east coast of England. And we like to call it hell. And so we attempted a church plant there for a year and a half, and we had to close it down. You know, we had to say the Lord has moved on. But really, really, we failed, you know. And we had a couple from Australia came, but they quit after a while because it's quite hard going. Building church is quite hard going, you know. So it's not for amateurs, you know, and it's not for the faint-hearted. And so they eventually left, and it was a failure. And then we stopped for a while because it kind of froze us just a bit. Then we thought, no, we're going to step out again. And so we stepped out in Manchester with Hope City, Manchester. And after about 4 years, my assistant, who was with us for 12 years, he was kind of like a lanky teenager just banging around on the top floor of the house. And I thought, I've got to get him out of here. He's annoying me so much, right? So I said to him, I said, why don't you go to Manchester every second week? And if you really enjoy it, let's make it your church. And so he said, oh, I'm loving it. He said, I love it. So I said, we'll make it your church. Name it whatever you want to name it. And we'll send... So maybe 25 people went over there. It's become the largest church in Manchester. But you never get a Manchester without a hull. A hull is on its way to Manchester. The same spirit that started Hull and failed is the same spirit that started Manchester and succeeded. Do you know the very first deliberate church plant of Hillsong was in Milan? And Hillsong, London was by default. Hillsong, Kiev was by default. But Hillsong, Milan was by design. But there's no such thing as Hillsong, Milan because it was an abject failure. It didn't work. This is back in the history of Hillsong. The first deliberate church plant did not work. What has worked is Hillsong, New York. It's become famous. Everybody's heard about it. Everybody knows about Carl Lenz. But you never have a New York without a Milan. I mean, how do you think the world works? No one goes from success to success to success to success. No one goes from summer to summer to summer to summer. You think they do, but nobody does. The problem with you is you think some people have the Midas touch. Nobody's got the Midas touch. It's just that when the tree of success grows, it covers up the potholes of failure. That's all. And then some people rewrite the history saying, don't I look good? No, let's be honest. This history came by default, not by design. So let's be honest about this, that you haven't got the Midas touch. But, you know, I think people do a disservice because they want to big up talent and they want to big up who they actually are, that they rewrite history and they write out the potholes. And yet the potholes were a part of the story. Fail 7 times. Rise 8. And for every one of you here tonight, in whatever ministry you're involved in, I got three things to say to you. Number one, get up. Number two, dust yourself down. Number three, try again. you're closer to success than you've ever been in the history of your life. You know, let me add this and just say that if you see a shipwreck, it's not the sign of failure. It's a sign an adventurer has passed these ways. The only failure would be if the captain of the ship still crying beside the wreck of the ship. That's a failure. But if he's built himself another ship, every carcass of a ship is a sign an adventurer has passed this way. I'll say this about broken relationships, of which every one of us have led a trail of broken relationships. It's not the sign of somebody bad at relationships. It's the sign of a lover of people. Relationships bust themselves up all the time. And the reason why you had a bust up was because you went into it in love. So your bust ups are proof there's a lover around. And because I've decided to get up, brush myself down and try again, I'm going to have another 100 bust ups. Why? I've decided to love people another 100 times. It says in Proverbs, I think 14:14, it says, when there's no oxen in the stall, it's pretty clean. But from the strength of an ox comes a mighty harvest. And what it's saying is, where there's poop, there's success. And you've just got to learn to wipe that from the fan and turn it into fertilizer. And wipe the tears from your eyes. There's a time to cry. There's a time to process. But that's not for all of life. There's a time where water really is under the bridge. And there's a time where God says it's time to start again. You do need a little time of recovery. But there's a time to start again. And I suspect that you're too successful. Your church is too successful. Your relationship's too successful. Because you've narrowed yourself down to a lounge room. And yet the call of God in your life is to be legends in the land, because we're here to take Australia for Jesus Christ, not just your lounge room. It's easy to put on a Batman outfit or a Superman outfit in your lounge room. So this guy, Thomas Edison, he was one of the world's greatest inventors. I think a movie's coming out really soon about it. And he invented the movie camera, the record player. A power station. He invented the light bulb. And his Melno Park, which was two blocks in New Jersey, just outside of New York City. And it was his industrial laboratory. And they say, legend has, right, that when he's inventing stuff and the stuff wasn't working, instead of putting it down a tube into a skip, he just chuck it out the window. And so wherever he's working, there's like two stories of junk outside of the window of his laboratory. Well, how do you know an inventor's upstairs? Because there's a mound of junk outside the window of his heart. I think your life's too clean. I think there ought to be a mound of junk. If you're filled and inspired of the Holy Spirit, if you're led by Christ, there ought to be a mound of junk, stuff that's not working. I think your aim ought to be two stories junk, because every one of us are called to be an entrepreneur. And God says, sow your seed in the morning. It might not succeed. And then get up, brush yourself down, try again. Sow your seed at night, because you just don't know which will succeed, whether this or that or whether both will do equally well. A young reporter came up to him and said, do you feel like a failure, when he was trying to invent the single light bulb? He said, do you think you should give up? And Edison said, why would I feel like a failure? Why would I ever give up? I now know that there's definitely 8,999 ways that an electric light bulb doesn't work. And he went on to create the light bulb and invent a city. Some of you are 5 minutes before a miracle. Some of you have stopped at 5 minutes before the miracle. Some people die at 27, yet they're buried at 87. Because Christ is creative. and that everything Christ has created has succeeded, then we ought to follow in the footsteps and the footprints of Christ. This is, you know, Jesus prophesied failure, and I'm going to read a parable from him that you would have read a number of times. From Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 9, it says, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some seed fell on rocky places when it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plant scorched and it withered because it had no root. Other seed fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so it didn't bear grain. Still other seed fell in good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30 times, some 60 times, some 100 times." Oh, there we go. So Jesus is prophesying failure. Not everything you do will succeed. He says some will fall on hard soil, like bouncing off concrete. Some will fall on shallow soil. Some will fall on overcrowded soil. Not everything you do will succeed. But because you are a farmer, scattered seed is proof of farmers around. But hopefully a majority of your seed eventually lands on, or at least a part of your seed lands on good soil and produces a harvest minimum 30 times. To the person who gets up, brushes themselves down and tries again, you are heading for a 70 time, a 30 time, a 60 time, a 100 time return on that which hit good soil. That's the Midas touch. That's the tree of success that now totally shadows the potholes of failure. But Jesus prophesied, not everything you do will succeed. Most of you are relationally too tight, creatively too restrictive, and progressively too slow. See you soon. So here's some keys to defeating the spirit of failure. Number one is that it depends. Everything depends on where you draw the line, where the end date is, where the line of assessment is. You know, if you take the life of Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, it's pretty much a failure. Every disciple had left him. He'd hardly impacted a generation. The only person there was his mum. You'd expect your mum to be there. I mean, that's what mums do. It'd be a very bad mum if your mum wasn't there when you're on the cross. But everyone else had left. If you judged the life of Jesus ...40 days after the resurrection, he'd only appeared to 500 people. And this is the Son of God. I'd say that's a low retention rate for someone who's come to change planet Earth. If you assess his life 50 days after the resurrection, then you've got 3,000 people. So it's 3,500 people who have affirmed Jesus Christ as Lord. If you assess him today, you got millions times millions of people who confess Jesus Christ is Lord. All I've done is I've moved the assessment date. And some of you, you're turning 21 thinking, what have I done with my life? Well, can I suggest not much, because you're only you're only 21. You're just out of nappies. But you know, it's to your curse. 29, what have I done? 39, what have I done? Kids have left home, what have I done? Well, you've raised some missionaries for a start. Planted the seeds for missionary venture, if anything. 49, what have I done? 59, what have I done? 69, what have I done? It's to your curse that you do postmortems and evaluate your life far too often by asking that the question. Because to a farmer, the seed, it might look like brown dirt, but the seed's in the dirt. So the assessment is, I won't assess this because it's going to spring forth. Because I'm a seed sower. When I was 27 years of age, I thought, because the healing evangelists were pretty big back then, and I thought, I'm going to be myself a healing evangelist. Because look at everybody else's. They're all yapping on about it. And this is what I realized in terms of healing evangelists. Most healing evangelists were quite sick. And I've never been really that sick. That's just a rule of thumb. I'm probably not called to be a healing evangelist. Most people do marriage seminars, excluding these two. Almost broke up. You know, God reveals his greatest strength on your fracture of greatest weakness. But I thought, I know nothing of sickness, but I'll give it a go. So I was driving along in Sunnybank in Brisbane, right? And I saw a doctor's surgery, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll start there. So I parked the car up, and I thought, I'm going to give this a good shot, right? Parked the car up, and then shut the door. Heart was beating quite fast at this stage, and walked in. And then I was expecting to see about 35 people all wanting to see the doctor, and I could just go around each row by row, you know, get a few helpers to catch them. And there's only one person in there. So I immediately thought, well, this has to be the person. This is going to be the most mighty miracle this place has ever seen. So I went up to him. I said, listen, I'm a Christian. And I believe I'm a healing evangelist. And I would like to heal you. And so what is it that's wrong? He said, nothing's wrong. He said, I'm waiting for my wife. So that is the end of the healing ministry. Didn't last very long, but I gave him a best shot. My best shot. So anyway, so 4 years later, my wife and I leave Brisbane, fly 10,000 miles to a city that we'd never been to before. And we arrived in Sheffield because of the Hillsborough disaster, where 100 people got squashed to death because of a soccer stadium disaster, letting too many Liverpool fans into the stadium. And even today, it's the most controversial thing that's ever happened in football. And the saddest things ever happened to a single city is what happened to Liverpool supporters. But it was a trigger for us to leave Brisbane and head to Sheffield. And we've been there for 28 years. And we've had our head down and our tail up trying to create a successful modern church for a generation of broken people. It's the same spirit that started Sheffield as went into the medical facility in Sunnybank. There's absolutely no difference. Both were driven by the gift of faith. Both were driven by an entrepreneurial spirit. Both were driven by a beating of the fear of failure. And may I suggest to each one of you, you've got to have a Sunnybank before you have a Sheffield. And that you turn back to the wide open fields of possible failure and launch yourself headlong into new friendships, new discipleship, new relationships, new church plants, new ministries, and battle your way through until the Sheffield arises. Because there's a Sheffield out there. And the moment it arises, you move into the equation of heaven. It starts off at 30 times. Not 25, not 20, not double. 30 times. Then moves up to 60. Then maxes at 100. Gosh, the future for you is bright. Secondly, failure needs rewarding. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because those who come to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Not for those who succeed, but for those who earnestly seek him. He is a rewarder. You ought to expect an award. For those who step out in faith, expect to be rewarded by God. Now, I'm going to share you my greatest failure. My greatest failure in a ministry is a ministry called Mega Babe. And we set up a clothing exchange in the inner city of Sheffield, called it Megababe. And it was for women to come down and to sell their clothing through us. Then we'd share the profits and get to know a lot of the women in this estate that's filled with poverty and filled with a thousand other problems that follow poverty. So a problem we had is there's a store called Matalan. I don't know if you've got it over here, but they almost give you money to take their clothes and their brand new clothes. And they opened immediately opposite Megababe. So their new clothes were cheaper than our secondhand clothes. So we have got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. And then secondly, a trans person used to come down, a person born a man, now choosing to change identification, is coming down every day to try on women's clothing. Now, this is back in the day of more narrow-mindedness than there is today, and all of the Christian girls resigned because they thought it weird that 3 feet to the right is something they don't understand and something that's way out of their pay grade. So now I've got no one coming in except a trans person and no one working there. And then I thought, well, it's possibly there's something wrong with the sign. And I thought either people think this is for babies or for very large women. So anyway, I'm when I get to heaven and Jesus puts on the DVD player in heaven, there'll be nothing on it till I was 20 years of age. It'll just be nothing, black, because I got saved at 20. So all my sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Remembered no more. Praise the Lord. Quite handy. Very beneficial, that. And it'll be a bit itchy, scratchy for a while because I still had a girlfriend that hung around for a year and a half. So it'll be itchy, scratchy for a while. Just quite a bit of stuff scratched out there. I'm anticipating a flash of the Megababe sign coming up. And I'll try and be humble. I say, what is thouest, Lord? Just why doth thou show? Why, false humility. I'll give it a go. Why doth thou show the Megabase? Surely Lordeth. Surely Lordeth, that's in the seeth of forgetfulness. Here you go, Dave. We got it out, right? We've chosen that. Me and the Holy Spirit and the Father have chosen that. For two reasons. First reason is when you sit around the board table and come up with the idea of Megababe, we laughed and laughed and laughed for 2 years. For 2 years. I mean, Dave, there's a lot of serious things going on earth, isn't there? Yeah, so we needed a good laugh and you gave us a great laugh. 2 years worth of laughter. Even Gabriel joined in. Just couldn't get Michael off the floor. Just you just brought so much joy to heaven. So, and secondly, it was the sign of a great attempt. So here's a crown for Gilpin. Oh, Lordeth, really? And you know, I'm going to say that maybe, I know I'm repeating the same kind of theme through this, right? But maybe about 5 years later, we start a home for women with life-controlling issues. One girl turns up. And then maybe 3 or 4 women are in the house and we're rolling out this ministry that is a lot of work. And then the police would give us people who are coming out from the brothels who are illegally transported into the country from people trafficking. And they'd say, can you look after them? And we say, well, we can, right? Even though we can't. We can. So we did that for a number of years. Today we've got 15 safe houses. In the last 5 years, we've housed over 600 women that have come out of human slavery. We've helped over 3,000 survivors of modern day trafficking. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It's called City Hearts. Where does City Hearts start? Mega babe. I'm repeating the same story, but you know what I mean. You got to have a mega babe. Every one of you deserves a mega babe. My wife is the result of a gang rape. And she found that out when she was like 27 years of age, because she met the Queensland changed their adoption laws. You could actually find out the address where your mum was actually living when she gave birth to you. So she found her mum. It was a success story, that. She said, "What about Dad?" She said, "I'm gang raped." Cut a long story short, because I love telling the story. Last year, 40 babies were born under our care as a result of women keeping their children from the violence of brothels. I don't know what you think about that theologically, but it's powerful. Because they're innocent victims of horrific crimes. Why make the child a criminal? I'll wrap up in a second before Jared comes up and gracefully plays. Number three, failure kills the devil of perfection. Jesus failed with Judas. I think there's a lot of leaders in this place thinking that you got to get 100%. Jesus' scorecard was 92%. And he's the best of the best. There's no one better than our Christ. But he only kept 11. I just think your standard's higher than the standard of God. And God, Jesus, you know, when he's praying on the hillside, half of it would have been praying for Judas. Even his prayers didn't succeed. This is the Son of God we're talking about. I suggest you let yourself off the hook a little bit. Because your standard's too high. And your standard is paralyzing you. Here's my last point, and Jared can come back up. Or someone can. Maybe the keeper player. Oh, the bass. You're the keyboard player. Oh, the bass player can come up too if he wants. I don't care who he is. I really don't. Just, if you could play Raw by Katy Perry, that would be great, just behind me. But, like a bit of Katy Perry every now and again. Okay, here's my last point, and that is failure can actually be your greatest gift. And when I was at university, I went to Sydney University. I've got a degree in civil engineering, but I failed third year. And I failed third year because I didn't do any work in first year or second year or third year. So eventually it caught me out. And I became a Christian in third year, but that's just an excuse. When you don't do any work, you eventually fail. But when it came to the end of the degree, I thought, I'm just going to have to manage this. And so it doesn't look like I spend an extra year. So I kind of, I don't know, I use the Xerox to its maximum capacity to make it look as if I only did 4 years at university. And two of us, it surprised me, but we a lot of us, all of us went for a job with Civil and Civic because it was the number one civil engineering company in Australia at the time. And so, but out of all of us, only two of us, the final two was me and another guy. Totally surprised me. I was in the final two. And so each of us were in floor 32 of Civil and Civic building with the board for Civil and Civic, right? And each individually there. And when I was there, it was going quite well. I was quite positive, quite upbeat about my chances. Until one of the guys on the board said, hang on. He said, "So you started uni in this year." I knew things were going to go badly from this moment on. He said, "You finished this year." He said, that looks different to... Your results say 4 years, but that looks like..." And I knew within 30 seconds that would be the end of the interview. They said, "Thank you very much." And that was the end of my career in civil and civic. So I went back to Canberra where mum lived, and I got a clearing job, which is a company that wanted to replace people that hadn't been to university with university graduates. And it was for Pioneer Concrete as a management scheme for Pioneer Concrete. And so I got a job, and the job was in Brisbane. And so I moved 1,000 miles up to Brisbane and got involved in a church in Brisbane. And then one night in King George Square in Brisbane, I met someone who I knew just from a youth group, and they introduced me to somebody who was from another church doing some street witnessing as I was, and it happened to be my wife. And I said to someone that night, I've met my wife. What was I doing in Brisbane? It's in Brisbane because I failed university. My failure had taken me from Sydney to Brisbane. And the reason why God loves failure is because all the glory goes to God. It's a great foundation for God because you can't get an ego trip out of it. You can't think, wow, look at the great marriage I've started. No, no, no. It began with you failing at university, smoking too much. That's how it started, Dave. But look how God in his providence has worked all things together for good. And I'll say to each one of you here, right, that in God's providence, whatever you failed at historically, whether it's relationship or ministry or service or a business, whatever it is, every bit of that failure will one day be turned around for good to a God who believes in your destiny, in your future, to those called according to his purposes. There's not one thing that God can't change for good. Even the explosive hydrogen of your past, if you add the oxygen of faith to the hydrogen of turbulence in your life, you're going to create a river of living water coming out from your life. And all you need to do, and just get up. Just get up. Wipe away your tears. You've cried for too long. Brush yourself down. Buy a new dress. Buy some new Paddington Bear trousers. And start again. When you think about the world, the only reason why the queen is because her uncle failed. It's the way God works all things together for good. I got to finish off, but what I'm going to do is get you to turn your failure to turn your failure into success by adding the spirit of faith to it. And I'm going to get you, and we'll just do a quick altar. We kind of run out of time, but just a quick altar for you to snap out of it and for you to stop crying over that person who's no longer in your life. I mean, they're not worth it. They're not worth crying over. They're history, baby. They're done and dusted. They're water under the bridge. The best is yet to come. Face your face forward and expect the best is yet to come, and expect that the ways of the righteous spiral upwards and not downwards, and God can use everything at his disposal. Welcome failure, welcome your future, welcome the success. And the minimum you'll get from God when you destroy the spirit of failure, the minimum from God's 30 times. The maximum is 100 times. And to move between 30 and 100, I guess it's going to take an altar call tonight, because some of you just need to make a decision. I'm not going to cry any longer. I'm not going to talk about the past any longer. I'm not going to even talk about failure any longer. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that there is failure, because I'm on my way. There is a sign of a great attempt. There is a sign I'm on my way to great success. There is a sign that I've got the guts to stand up and keep on going. And also God will use that in order to propel me into future destiny. Come on, stand up. And as my Jared sings this song, then this altar is this is an actual altar.
You are good.
I love that. You are good. I love that. Love that. And he's good. It's a great song, that. Great choice, Jared. I'm going to give you 15 seconds to come out here for your change of heart, for the beginning of a new part of your story, to take you into your future success. On your marks, get set, go. Come on, 10, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, two.
Oh, you are good. You're good.
Oh. Oh my God, this is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Put your hands in the air and detach yourself from both failure and success. Just detach yourself. Just say, Lord, I detach myself. I uncouple myself from failure or success. And Lord, I come back to you, the author of life, the beginner, the one who starts, the one who begins a good work, and the one that will finish this good work. Take off the markers that have judged your life too prematurely. Take the big F off your forehead. Take it off your forehead and wipe the tears from your eyes. And Father God, I pull out right now the spirit of failure, the curse of failure. Father God, I take it out, that hook, that sharp, that cutting edge, I take out from people's hearts right now. And Father, we throw that into the sea of forgetfulness. And Father, we say that everything that we feel like we failed in is water under the bridge. And Father, thank you, Lord God, for the success that's waiting for us around the corner. And Father, give every person who's come out to the front courage. Give them boldness. Renew their hearts. Bring the peace of God back. Quit the comparison with other people. Begin to excite them again. Let them take you by the hand, Lord God, out from their lounge room, back into the wide world of the destiny of God. We welcome mega babes. We welcome Sunnybanks. We welcome Hulls. We welcome Milans. But we want to thank you for Sheffield's, for City Hearts, for New York's, and for Manchester's. Help us to dream again, God. Help us to dream again. Help us to create a Melno Park, God. Two stories, two blocks. Help us to create an invention laboratory. Help us to strategize, to invent new plans, new ways, new purposes, God. Father, there's a world to reach and the world to win, Lord God. If we stop, the whole world stops, Lord God. And Father God, right now, put a courage within us, put an imagination within us, God. Cause us to dream again. Help us to plant in the morning and help us, God, to just in case to plant at night, Jesus. Help us to not stop planting, God. For we just don't know whether success will come, whether from this or that, or whether both will do equally well, Jesus. Help us to stop not looking at the wind. Help us to stop looking at the weather conditions and help us to step out. To step out in faith, to step out in goodwill, to step out in a trust and a newfound trust in you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that our worth isn't found in our success or found in our failure. Our worth is found in our sonship and our daughtership. Our worth is found in being children of the living God. And Father, put a spirit of faith within us. Put a word of faith and a spirit of faith within us, God. And take out the spirit of cowardice and take out the spirit of mourning and turn our mourning into dancing, God. Bring joy into our hearts, joy into this place, Lord God. And cause us to recover quickly, God. And cause us to be back on the road, 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 back on the road. Father God, lead us, lead us, lead us, lead us, lead us in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you're good. Come on, Jared. Lord is good. God is good. Come on, sing this. Sing this. Yeah, sing this. Yeah.
You are good. You're good. Oh, you are good.
You're good, 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 good.
You're good,
you're good, good, good.
Oh,
yeah.
You're good.
Sing it again. Come on. Sing it with all of your heart. Sing it with all of your might. Come on. God is good. You are good. Come on. He's a good, good God. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. Come on. He's a good, good Father. Come on. Come on, let confidence rise. Shama takadalaka dalaka 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 dalaka. You are good. You're good. You're good. Whoa, 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 whoa. You are good, good, good. You're good, 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 good. You're good, 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 good. You're good. Sing it again. Sing it again. Come on. 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 Whoa, 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 shake it off. Whoa, 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 yeah,
yeah,
we're gonna listen. What we're gonna do. What we're going to do. There was a song a number of years ago called Shake It Off. Shake, shake, shake it off. And you know, I think, you know, clap offerings are underrated. And clap offerings are quite miserable. Three people clap. 300 watch on. But not this clap we're about to clap. This is a groundbreaking Shake It Off. And you got to shake it off. You have to shake it off. You know, walk out of this place knowing you're a future success story. You're a success story in the making. That's your business. In the making is your business. The destination is God's business. But putting on the attitude of in the making is the right thing. And you're going to have to shake it off. And the Bible says to shout unto God with the voice of triumph, which is your faith projection that you're heading toward 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. So this clap offering, I don't want you to stop. Like, eventually you'll stop because we've got to go to sleep. But I don't want you to stop. Especially at the front here, I want you to keep on clapping until you know the spirit's broken. Failure is a spirit. It's just a spirit of grief. It's a spirit of loss. Oh, how many friends have left that we're still feeling at a loss with? Thinking, my life has lost its bearing, has lost its anchor. May I suggest that Jesus Christ could actually sneak in right now and he could sneak in and become your anchor. He could actually be your BFF as it was always designed to be. May I suggest that God comes in? Just a suggestion that Jesus Christ becomes God and Lord of your life. I'm just hinting that maybe he can be the foundation. So I don't want you to stop. I don't mind a little bit of hype, but this won't be hype. This will be breakthrough stuff. It's prophetic. It's prophetic. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Prophesy your future. Shake, shake, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Okay, so we're about to do that, Rhett. Okay, so try and not stop. You will stop because you'll be exhausted after a while, but try and not stop. And try and shout to God at the same time. On your marks, get set, go! Come on, let's give God a clap offering of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Give Him glory. Give Him glory. Give Him glory. One thing I do, I forget what's behind me and I press on to the upward prize of the calling of God. The old has gone and the new has come. The old is gone, the new has come. We proclaim new shoots, new beginnings, and fresh starts. New shoots, new beginnings, and fresh starts. New beginnings, new shoots, and fresh starts. Fresh starts, new beginnings, and new shoots. New beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. We brush it off. We brush it off. We get up. We get up. We start again. New beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. In C3WA, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. In C3 Fremantle, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings, fresh starts, new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings. Father, 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 Father. So you thought you'd stop, eh? Finally, the last person stopped clapping. For what reason? Because everybody else did.